Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What is this, Valero? It's got a nice vibe.
This is Daft Punk, Game of Love.
Oh. I like it.
You're welcome.
Three o'clock hour is brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com.
What is that?
Daft Punk.
You like it?
What is that, the synthesizer?
That's his voice, like T-Pain.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't like that.
I like the vibe on this.
Thank you.
What a fire little beat.
You know this song, or you just...
I do know this song. Yeah. I love Daft Punk.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
He could be lying.
Why would I lie about that?
Well, you lie about a lot of things.
But, like, why that?
Although, there's so many things he does lie about, but then he's honest about buying fish out of the Roach Coach. Thanks. He didn't know how disgusting that was.
It's not. It tastes good.
You're going to do it again?
I would do it again.
After what's going on?
And you think I'm the only one that does it?
Nobody.
A lot of
bro,
people got it.
No.
Let me explain to you again what the Roach Coach is. It's a guy with a van down by the river. It's a guy with a van. He loads it up every morning. He's got like a hot plate in the van.
No lie. I go to Walmart early as hell in the morning.
They buy boxes of Kirkland soda.
Yeah, I see them all the time in front of Walmart, like 5 a.m.
Sam's Cola.
Yep.
And then they drive around on their route. Like this building, we don't have a kitchen in it. Our new studios will. But there's no kitchen. So the Roach Coach pulls up here. It's not a gourmet food truck. It's a dude with a van and a hot plate.
Okay.
He buys 40 hot dogs and 40 buns in the morning. Mm-hmm. He buys the Sam's Choice potato chips.
It's called chips.
They're called chips. You know, it nets out to 26 cents a bag for him. He sells them for a dollar a bag.
Good for him.
Hitting him in the head.
And so he's got, you know, he gets some of those Otis Spunkmeyer muffins.
Those are good, actually.
That's pretty good.
Get some candy bars. And on the odd day that Gordon's fish sticks are on sale, he buys a couple packs and he fries them up.
Why
and
would he
you,
lie to me?
And you bought them.
Why,
and
like, he told me he caught them hand.
Why do you
like,
think you
hand?
Had to go to the bathroom so quickly before the show started?
Because of probiotic.
It was a hep C.
Cleans me out, man.
All right. Yeah, of course it cleans you out. You bought fish out
a
of a van down
a
by
thing.
The river.
Hey, man, that's dirty dining.
Out of all the things that you could buy out of the Roach Coach, fish.
Pull out a camera and see how fast he drives away.
Hey, you're not lying, man.
Well, no.
Who's that?
That was the guy that pulled out a damn camera.
The guy that told you he caught the fish this morning.
A mahi.
So you asked him. So you asked him, which means that you had some question about whether the fish was good or not.
Well, I asked him, what type of fish was it? He's like, mahi. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He goes, yeah, I caught it today.
Bro.
And he seems like an honest guy. Like, yeah. Why would he lie?
He took out his 90-foot fishing boat this morning before he loaded up his van down by the river.
I don't ask how he got it.
All right. Adam Beasley has waited long enough.
Don't do that, Adam.
I know. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Adam Beasley covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. We always enjoy talking with him. Hello, Adam.
It's good you guys took the time because I had to go vomit after listening to that conversation.
I mean, it's crazy, right? Isn't that poor judgment to buy fish out of the Roach Coach?
Dude, there is no way that's legal. There is no way to guy is licensed. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Beasley brings up a point here. I don't think it's like the typical, like a roach coach, there probably has to be limitations on what they can offer. And I wonder if Fish is on there.
He's not turning in his W-2s. He's just riding around
right,
in his van.
But I'm saying that's why the judgment is so flawed by Falero. Like, I don't mind buying lunch out of the roach coach. I don't because I'm not here early enough. But when it gets here, I would have no problem buying it out of there. But, like, I would be very selective on what I would choose. And Fish would never be on the list.
Well, Hawken, you made an incredible point. You know how hard it is to catch a mahi and then to turn around and get into your van, fillet it up, batter it, deep fry it, and then serve it? There's no chance. That is out of a bag. If not, it might be like lake trout that he caught over the weekend, but there's no way that's mahi.
Yeah, we were suggesting earlier in the show that it's like bait fish
good old carp.
He stopped at PetSmart and got a handful of minnows and said, "No one's bought this out of my truck before. Maybe today will be the day." Anyway, before we talk about the Miami Dolphins, I have to get your quick take. Adam Beasley's got strong opinions on Game of Thrones. If you haven't watched it yet, spoilers might be coming, so tune out. We've had a myriad of opinions. I don't watch it. Crowder does. Falero does. Crowder and Falero both thought the final season was garbage. Will Brinson was just on with us. He thought he went off. He's got no tolerance for people that enjoyed that final season. Now, Sedano was on with us yesterday, and he shook his finger at everybody and said, "Mind your own damn business. If you don't like it, that's on you. And who are you to criticize someone else's writing?" So where do you stand on this, Bees?
Well, I mean, we have to take a step back for a second and realize that this is a television show about dragons and zombies and dudes that come back from the dead and witches that can make fire with their hands. And we are having a debate about the artistic level of the finale. Are you kidding me? It is, I know, it aspired to be higher art. I understand that. But at the base level, it's a book that 13-year-old nerds read because they don't have girlfriends, okay? I mean, that's what Game of Thrones...
That's the section that it's in? There's an actual section for that?
It's in the back.
Yeah, it's all the way in the back.
And the pages are sticky.
So... keep in mind that we are debating like it's a soap opera, okay? It's brain junk. It's fun. It's fun to watch. You get excited, you know? But to lose your mind because the guy that you had rooted so hard for to be the king isn't the king, get a life. It's a television program. Relax. Did I think it was the best thing ever made? No. There were some huge flaws the last two seasons. Was I entertained? Yes. Did it wrap itself up in a way that sort of made sense? Yes, did they bring back characters we had forgotten about for the last 3 years and showed that they had some relevance to the greater narrative arc? Yes. What more are you going to ask for? I mean, I understand that the $10 a month for HBO is a hardship for some people, but for the vast majority of people who have HBO subscriptions, it's not a big deal. And you willingly chose to continue to watch over the last two seasons when it took a turn you didn't like. I'm sorry, Danny, you named your kid Daenerys and she turned out to be a villain. I'm sorry to hear that. But, it's a TV show. Take a damn deep breath.
Well, Crowder made the point, though. He made the analogy. It's like the undefeated Patriots then getting beaten by the Giants in the Super Bowl.
I appreciate the season. I appreciate the whole, the 7 years. But, man, that last game, that last two or three episodes was garbage.
Hey, you know what? I actually, there were some serious concerns I had about the finale. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. I didn't think it was great, but there were some scenes there that reminded you why you loved that show so much. And you loved the show so much, I didn't, for the decapitations and the dragons blowing things up. No, I loved it for the human element of how people interacted with each other, how people hold on to power and lose power. And that back and forth with Jon and Tyrion, when Tyrion's trying to convince him to off his aunt / lover, that was moving. That was poignant. And yes, did I chuckle when they had the hand meeting with Tyrion leading it and Bronn talking about bringing about Braavos? Yeah, I thought that was funny. I didn't go into it with expectations that it was going to be the finale of Breaking Bad or The Wire. Those television programs had a far more consistent arc. But there was also source material that ran out for the people who made the television show. and they were kind of left figuring out the ending of their own. And I think, by and large, tying together a cast of about 6,000 people, it sort of made sense, and I'm not going to lose my mind over it.
All right, there you go. Adam Beasley, that's it. We present all opinions on this show, fair and balanced. That's what we aspire to do. So Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. They had practices today. No Rashad Jones again, right? Is this a concern?
It'll be a concern in 2 weeks if he's not here, because that's when it's mandatory. It's funny, Hawk. They insist that he's going to be on the team this year, that they're not trying to trade him. But it's kind of funny that the first time he is obligated to be here is 3 days after when they can trade him because of June 1 obligations that would make them have a lot greater cap savings if they waited until then to do so. So I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a non-zero chance that we never see Rashad Jones in a Dolphins uniform either practice or to play again. My guess is he'll be there in 2 weeks and he'll explain, hey, look, I just wanted to be on my own this offseason. But it's very peculiar because everybody else who was supposed to be there was there. Some didn't practice because they were injured. Some didn't practice because they were sick. But Rashad's the only one who's willfully staying away. And there's something deeper there. What is it? I don't know. Is the team saying, hey, keep your distance. We're trying to move you? Perhaps, perhaps not. Is it more Rashad saying, hey, I want to get the hell out of here and I'm going to try to push my way out? It's possible, but we'll really only know until he talks to us in 2 weeks.
And B, with Rashad Jones being gone, I think he's the only 30-year-old still on the roster defensively. I think him and Fitzpatrick, the only guys I can think of that are, you know, old guys that play with me. Who would be the leaders? Like, who's out there screaming? Who's out there, you know, galvanizing the troops? What vets are out there kind of getting the guys going?
Crowder, I cannot believe that you disrespected John Denny that way.
Oh, wow, that's a huge mistake, Crowder.
That's my dude, but he's a long snapper, Bees. I talked to Denny the other day. I saw Denny at the bait shop the other day. We talked for an hour and a half, but you can't follow a long snapper.
No, although he is their PA rep, so he has been leading them for the last few years. I don't know. I don't know who the leaders on this team will be because this team isn't fully formed. Could they still add some additional players in free agency? Yes. Are there guys that were kind of backbenchers that are going to come to leadership positions in the time to come? Yes. I think a lot of times a team takes on the personality of their head coach and they take on the personality of their quarterback. And we know who the head coach is, but we don't know who the quarterback is yet. So I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for you. There are some guys that have been around for a minute, like Kenny Stills, obviously. On defense, Xavien Howard is going to be more of a leader, I think, this year. But a lot of these guys are so young, Channing, you're right, that I just don't know what the identity of this team is. They want their identity to be in shape, the most fit team in the NFL and the most disciplined team in the NFL. Those things you can do without talent, as TNT takes no talent. That's their slogan this year. But I don't know broader who, when things go tough, who they're going to turn to because they just don't have a lot of guys with those notches on their belt.
And Bees, I would naturally jumps up defensively would be the linebackers, the quarterbacks of the defense. Kiko, you know, Raekwon's in his third year. I know it's his second plan, but his third year. And Jerome Baker, those guys are playing too many snaps to be out there quiet and not, you know, and not really understanding that somebody has to step up in that linebacking core.
That's fair, but Kiko, I mean, is he a vocal guy?
Not at all.
No, that's not really who he is. And the most, you know, those guys you mentioned are basically second-year players. I know Raekwon's, you know, got a 3 next to his name on the roster, but he didn't play as a rookie. So that's going to be a huge issue. I mean, but is leadership the number one thing I'm worried about? No, just pure talent and execution. Those are far bigger concerns going into the season, who's going to be their leader.
Adam Beasley is with us from the Miami Herald. You mentioned the quarterbacks. We know who we don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. So Ryan Fitzpatrick took snaps, right, with the starters?
Yeah, he is. It's not one of those deals where he's the veteran, he's the number one quarterback right now. No, he actually looks really good. We've seen him twice now. We saw him last week and again today. And he has been polished. He's been sharp. He's been effective. He's been efficient. He hit Kenny Stills today on a 9 route. That was great. Guys, I mean, you're going to call me crazy because it's May and it's OTAs and these are meaningless practices. But I don't remember an offense executing this early in the preseason as well as they did today. Not under Adam Gase, not under Joe Field, but I've been on the beat since 2012, and the offense today looked really, really, really good. And is that a function of, hey, they got a good quarterback, they got some good receivers, they might make some noise, or is it a function of, man, their defense needs a lot of help? Maybe it's both. But if you're looking for a reason to be encouraged, I think the system that Chad Oshea is putting in place, going heavier, playing with a fullback, trying to be a smash-mouth football team with a quarterback who can make the throws, either Fitzpatrick or Rosen, because I think they both can, you might have something there. I'm not saying they're going to be great. I think they're real question marks on defense. But the offense today looked in a way that I don't remember the offense looking under Adam Gase, and I've watched a million practices under Adam Gase.
And you don't think they'd have any hesitation to start Ryan Fitzpatrick, even with what it took to get Josh Rosen here?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Do you believe them, or do you use common sense? Because they insist. Flores says he's fine if Fitzpatrick plays 16 games this year. And you and I on the outside are thinking, are you crazy? I mean, really? You spend a second-round pick on Rosen, you at least want to know what you can get in the guy? And their answer will be, well, if he can't beat out Fitzpatrick, we know he's not our franchise quarterback, which I guess is fair. But you really, truly only get a feel for a guy in a game. So I think they'll both get starts this year. I think they'll both play. Unfortunately, with their offensive line, I think both will get hurt, or at least one will get hurt at some point. So they'll both will play. But let me ask you guys, what do you think the standard needs to be for them to be comfortable with Josh Rosen in 2020, to not go and get Tua or Justin Herbert or whoever else you want there in the top 10 of the draft? What would it take? Is it a certain number of stats? Is it a certain number of wins? Is it just how he looks? What's your criteria?
I honestly don't know. I'm so torn on this.
I think it would have to be his personal stats, because the surrounding, you know, the pieces around him aren't that great. But if he goes out there efficient, you know, 70%, you know, touchdown to interception ratio, close to 5,000 yards, you know, if it's some games lost 42-45, that's not his fault. Like, I think his personal play can make us forget about drafting the quarterback first round.
Yeah, and I agree with you. What the danger is this. We spent the last 7 years thinking, have we figured out, have we seen the best of Ryan Tannehill? And it's going to be hard to say, have we seen the best out of Josh Rosen in 1 year in these circumstances? But it's a generational year coming up for rookie quarterbacks, for draft quarterbacks in 2020. The Dolphins probably will be picking the top 10, maybe the top 5 or beyond. They may not get another chance to do this. So the benefit of the doubt that Tannehill got for 7 years here in Miami, Rosen probably just won't get, because if there's any doubt in their mind, they're going to go and get the quarterback they think can be their next Dan Marino.
And speaking of Flores, too, the new regime, Bees, with him coming in, the TNT board, what, talent not needed, or talent takes no talent, whatever that crap is. Like, I'm not talking about that, but.
That was actually our want ad for Falero that he responded to. Talent not needed.
Talent not needed.
Hired. They're hired.
But everybody, you know, all that hoopla, but everybody's talking about this coaching tree. And I'm still torn on the coaching tree stuff, where this guy, he was under Belichick, so he has to be a good coach. But can you see what people will call the Patriot way? Can you see that out there on the field?
Well, we're going to see their scheme. I mean, I can't get into specifics because it's not allowed. But if you liked what the Patriots did on offense and defense, you're going to like what the Dolphins do on offense and defense, because there are some real similarities there. But you
can see it, like,
yes.
Okay, well, that I'm saying, that's encouraging.
There's two differences, though. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You have those two guys, and I'm not saying every system and every scheme will work, but you're giving yourself a huge head start. Do they need to find a quarterback of the level of Tom Brady? No, that guy's one or two a generation. But they need a lot better than Ryan Tannehill. Is Brian Flores going to be the second coming of Bill Belichick? We don't know. Certainly the job he did in the Super Bowl was encouraging. We just don't know. But from a schematic, a philosophical, and I would say even a talent standpoint, they're going to do things the way they're comfortable with, the way they know that work, and a lot of it is brought down here from New England.
Adam Beasley covers Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. Thank you for making time for us, Bees. We appreciate it.
Stay away from the Roach Machine, all right?
And then
I'm finishing it up now, Bees.
I'm telling you, you have no idea how quickly it went through him. He ran to the bathroom. This is not a joke. Ran to the bathroom before the show started, came back 40 seconds later, and announced, I've never gone to the bathroom that quickly before.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Taco Bell's right around the corner. That's the safe choice.
Right. I mean, that's crazy. Listen to what he's saying to you, Falero.
Oh, no, I got mahi in my mouth.
He's still eating it. He's eating it from noon to... Now, this is unbelievable. There were 5 strips of fish in that styrofoam container?
5 bites, yeah.
And he is still eating it now at 3:40. He bought it at noon. At noon, it's already suspect. Mm. At 3:40, you are eating handfuls of Hep C.
It's like sushi. It gets cold. Okay. So it's good.
Okay, I've only been a parent for a year and a half. You guys have been parents longer. But the way I see it is, you can tell your kid to do the right thing, but at some point, it's on them.
Yeah, no, this is on him. You're right. That's a good way to. So
I should beat him, huh, Beez?
No, he didn't know.
That's what I got from what Beasley said.
No, he did not say that. As much as as much as I would like to endorse that with Falero, I can never endorse that. Thank you, Beez.
All right, guys.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. He's eating the fish now. This is unbelievable. Bro.
You guys want some?
Like, it's room temperature at this point, and it's fish.
When do you want me to eat it?
Never is the answer I was looking for.
You got 6 days left?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, man. All right, quick break, and we'll see if Falero's alive when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.